All right. I'd like to welcome everybody to the December 15th, 2016 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And now, if everybody would stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. And the flag is? Okay. Oh, there it is. All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic over which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Thank you, Mill Valley, for hosting us tonight. We're looking forward to your presentation. Let's see. First up, we need a motion to adopt the agenda for our meeting tonight. Motion by Mrs. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Luke. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, we have our employees of the month for November and December. And so first we need a motion to approve Aubrey Marbaugh and Laura Hayes as the classified employees of the month for November and December.
So
motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry, Mrs. Savage, and second by Mrs. Powers.
Before I start, could I do one thing?
Sure.
I would just like, since Mrs. Conley is here tonight,
This
is her last eligible board meeting as an employee of the school district before she officially retires, just wanted to recognize, we did say nice things about you,
thank you,
a couple months ago, but wanted to recognize that we certainly appreciate what you've done and love that you're here tonight, but
thanks
for everything, and we look forward to continuing to work with you. We know that's going to happen. All right, so first up, in November would be Aubrey Marbaugh, if you'd come forward.
Hey,
I always make you come up here, so
I'll be right back.
Do you want to come up here too, Amy, since she works here? And then I'm going to read the comments that your peers submitted so that you were able to get this award. All right, so Aubrey goes above and beyond the scope of her job responsibilities. Aubrey truly cares for students and staff. Recently, she was commended for her exemplary character while taking care of a young lady at Mill Valley. This young lady was very ill, and because of your care, diligence, and compassionate care, this student and her family now have all the answers to a medical condition they were not aware of. So thank you for everything you do. We appreciate it. All right. Laura Hayes. And no one's here from the high school,
nope.
So that's okay. Normally they're not. They just let down.
Yeah, there you go.
And I will also read about you. How's that? Laura was instrumental in getting a grant from Ohio Department of Education for training for the food service department. This training was taken by over half of the food service staff before school started at the high school, and it pertained to building meals, knife safety, and team building. She has also been working with our two new head cooks on ordering and production sheet preparation. She has a staff of 14 ladies that she manages each day, as well as running a very productive cafeteria as well as the C store after school. Laura is also a volunteer for the FFA food science team and works with them before competition during the year. She has had Wright State here for the last 2 years doing plate waste studies with the students. She's a wonderful, she's a wonderful asset to our department as well as the district. Congratulations. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you both so much. I mean, what a great example of the kind of employees we have in our district. So we really appreciate everything you've done. And so now we need a roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And next, we have the presentation from Mill Valley Elementary. Mrs. McGlynn.
And you're cartless.
Well, just for this. She didn't bring it.
One more week.
This would go well.
Yeah, the birds would go really bad.
That's right.
Okay.
That's all right.
We're
good.
There we go.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Mill Valley. One of the focuses for the couple years that I've been principal is to develop community partnerships. And so the partnership that we're focused on here this year is through the Marysville Police Department. That is Sergeant Don McGlynn. And he's here tonight presenting with us. And the team that you see here is Marianne Conley, the guidance counselor, Carrie Plour, who is also the guidance counselor. She's going to be replacing Marianne Conley at Navin and Mill Valley, Kathy Savage, the instructional coach. Back when we first started out in the fall, Marianne and I were talking and throwing our brains together, you know, let's think of the community, where can we start? And Marianne came up with the idea, and I'll kind of let you talk about the partnership with the fire department, and we kind of just started there.
3 years ago when I went to Navin, we obviously have the fire department right across the street, and how convenient for our kids to have mentors, and so worked with Mayor Gore and Ms. Lewis, and we decided to partner with them. And a breakfast program every Friday. Three lieutenant and chief comes over and eats breakfast. They just sit in the cafeteria, eats breakfast with the kids, visits with them for a total of maybe 15, 20 minutes. So when Amy and I start talking, and they were talking about some community things, and through the United Way, some challenges Ms. Mankins had given them, I'm like, why don't we use the fire department? We got somebody right here that can... The police department. And so we just decided to kind of model it on the same thing. And the one thing I wanted, academics is utmost importance, but the emotional child is right there. Mm-hmm. And if they are not comfortable or feel loved, then we can't get those academics out of them. So the children were selected strategically. And we started here, and we have 15 children that eat every Tuesday with Officer Pitzinger and Officer Dillahunt and Don, and they literally just sit and talk with them, and the kids literally on Monday are like, tomorrow's Tuesday. And I'm like, yes, it is. So it's just been a wonderful partnership. Our police officers, and I'm sure he'll talk more about it, they love it just like our firefighters. We had firefighters that Lieutenant Watson's son was getting married in the Kenton area, and on a Friday morning, he drove back from Kenton to eat 15 minutes to drive back to Kenton to decorate for the wedding. Wow. So it means a big thing. I know some people try to plan their vacations around not missing eating with the kids, and the kids absolutely like it. It's also great to have police cars in the parking lot as a friendly reminder. And it's great to have the police officers just standing in the lobby until those children that do eat with them sit down. It's just a school breakfast, and our police officers are indulging more than our firefighters, but they seem to like our school lunch and breakfast.
Chocolate milk.
Can't get that everywhere. And it's just a wonderful program. The kids make sure before they leave, they have to say face-to-face good morning. It might be the first adult they've talked to that day. But it's great seeing them in the hallway as they come in the morning. And then it just so happened our first day was election day, and we do the candy bar election still here. And so it was a big deal because the police went down and voted. So it's just been an absolute great partnership.
Yeah, so what we've done is we've broken it up in the cafeteria. We each sit at an individual table, and then we actually eat with the same kids. So we have our same group every week. So we can kind of build a relationship with those group of kids. We talk to them everything about school, about, you know, stuff going on at home. Could be just about it. And most of our time to spend with them is just getting their stuff open so they can eat. You know, I have two little kindergartners in my group, and if I don't help them, there's syrup going everywhere. So, but what's interesting for us as police officers is, so the three of us do it on a regular basis. One day, Josh and Joe had school bus training over in Hilliard, being the school resource officers. So I brought two other guys from the department over, and ever since that time, they did it one time. Ever since that time, they keep asking me when they can come back to do this again. Mm-hmm. So they love it. It's the Joe Petzinger calls it the best part of his week. The best 20 minutes of his week is spent right here in the cafeteria with these kids, mm-hmm. because they immediately, when they come in, you know, you get a hug. You know, but the end of my day the other day was spent, you know, putting shoes on the right feet. Because they, you know, just stuff like that. Amy and I were at the Christmas walk. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of our eye, this kid comes running up to us. And he just freezes when he's standing in front of us. And he looks at Amy, and he looks at me, and he looks at Amy. And he's not sure who to hug.
Nobody hugged me first.
Right. You know, it's And then, like, today I stopped. I was over here dropping Bailey off, and I stopped and saw one of the kids that I eat with. And what did she say? We're police officers.
Yeah, when she got back to class, she told her teacher that I got to see my police officer.
Aww. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's awesome. Eventually what we'd like to do is, you know, try to grow this a little bit, because mm-hmm. we've got guys that actually, you know, would love to come out here. The biggest key for us is, and what was commented, we talked about at the very beginning, is consistency. You know, we have to be here. These kids are counting on us to be here. So when in talking with the officers, I said, look, you have to make sure that we keep our schedules. And what makes it difficult is some of the guys that want to do it are patrol guys. You know, and they have calls and stuff to go on. So if we decide to grow the program, we're going to try to, you know, just to dedicate that time. We actually get here early now, and we stand in the doorway, so when all the kids come in, everybody comes up, and I'm surprised I haven't been out sick yet, but every kid comes up and gives you a high five and a hug as they're coming through the door, and then, you know, if a class has something going on, we may get invited down to like the election thing.
The substitutes got to.
Yeah, that's Officer Hardy on the right and Officer Collier on the left, and he found out Officer Hardy likes candy, so, you know, he had to go down there and try all the different candy to figure out which one he wanted. Yeah, so we got to vote. So if classes have something going on, you know, we can go down there and try to.
And I was at the FOP Christmas party last weekend. Third shift guys were saying that they would be willing to volunteer and stay over to go, and we talked about eventually growing to other schools, because, you know, then we would have more. So we're talking about expanding more here and spreading it more, but like Don said, it's just hard because if they get a call, they have to go. And so,
and when I first started this, that was the biggest discussion with Chief Riley. A lot of these kids, they say they're going to come and they don't show up, and that was my concern with the firefighters, because, you know, they get a call, they can't be there, and that's how they worked it out. And that's when I talked to
Don. We actually mark out as a call, so we can't, yeah, the three of us can't be called, dispatched out of here. So they know we're here from here to here.
So if they're not there, just like Chief Riley went and fought the firefight or the fires, somebody else comes and they're okay with that, knowing that Chief Riley's doing his job. Mm-hmm. So just like their parents have to do their jobs, and sometimes they can't do things, they have to do their jobs. And so it's been a good thing. Hopefully in the spring, we're going to have some pancakes where they cook them on the griddle, maybe in the conference room for the kids, and just cook for them. For the firefighters, obviously, we walk right across the street, and they cook in their kitchen. So it's not a big deal. Every parent I called said, my kids would love it. I do have two people still on the waiting list because they have siblings. Usually we try to get the siblings. We try not to have fourth graders so that these police officers will work with them at least 2 years. Mm-hmm. A lot of the ones we have are kindergarten, first and second. So
another way that we partnered with the police department is we had a penny wars for raising money for the United Way, and we actually brainstormed together, and we had three different prizes, and we had no idea what the funding was going to happen or turn into, and so I would have never predicted the way it went. You'll find out in a second. But first prize was the top class. There was a random drawing, and that child rode to school with myself and Chief Golden to school, which was pretty cool. The second prize, the top class earned a pizza party, and officers came and had lunch with them. There were 8 of them here, which was a pretty big deal. And then the third prize was the winning grade level had their own special assembly with Officer Ness and the police dog Bear. So just kind of to show some pictures, Carrie's going to kind of...
So kind of with this type of thing, I kind of think back to kind of when I was in school, and I can remember experiences like this like it was yesterday. And I think that that's kind of what our thought process was in kind of expanding on these types of events around the school too, because these are really powerful experiences, and that's what we were talking about too. The hearts and minds of these kids are so, so important when we're trying to tackle the academics too. And just the boost, the little girl that actually got to ride in the car is, you know, one of, I would say she's a high needs kind of student around school, and it made her whole world. I mean, it lit her up. You know, she'll never forget it. She'll never forget it. It was a really cool experience.
All the kids that because they came in on a day that we were eating, and all the kids were like, hurry, hurry, we got to get outside. She's coming in the police car, because they wanted to see her pull out front. So all the kids kind of lined out the doorway here just to see the one little girl get out of the car with the chief and Amy.
It was awesome.
And I just want to add one thing is, we have a lot of parents that maybe they've ridden in a police car. And we want them to think that the police are a good thing, not a bad thing. So it was very important just to have that police car go to the neighborhood and the chief walk up and pick up the child. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good things happen with our community helpers. So
these are just more pictures, but I think what was kind of amazing to us at the end, if you look at the bottom, we have the money that these kids raised. Coming together the way that they did, the teachers, the students were so pumped. I mean, the amount of money we raised, I think, just shocked us all. I mean, we were amazed at how they came together the way they did and really took pride and ownership in the events. So it was pretty cool. This was awesome. I actually had to go in and see this, too, because... I mean, who doesn't want to see the police dog,
I did get bit by the police dog with the arm thing, and I was outside the parking lot. I was a little nervous, but...
So this one was, the grade level that won was third grade, and so they got to have the special day that he brought the police dog in. They all got to experience that together, and it, again, like, I don't think they'll ever forget that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, you know, when we bring stuff like this into schools... It makes them want to be here. It encourages them to work together for stuff like this. I mean, again, $350 almost, just pennies. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Kathy's going to talk in a second. She helped me kind of get us to the United Way Radiothon. We were asked to be part of that. But it kind of just shows how different community partners work together in this. Mm-hmm. And so I'll let Kathy talk more about that. She supported me that day.
Okay, I have the best job in the whole world. So not only do I get to work with students, I get to work with teachers, and then because I'm not tied to a classroom, I get to do very, very special things like this. I accompanied 3 students from a third grade classroom, the classroom that raised the most money of donations for pennies, and there we are on the little park bench outside, and there's Amy with them inside the radio station. So... first of all, we get there, and there's United Way volunteers, and they have this whole lunch from, like,
Jersey Mike's,
they have donuts, everything.
Food like you wouldn't believe, so the kids were like, you know.
Yeah, so they were extremely proud. This is, like, superstar moment. I mean, look at these. Look at their smiles
in
that first picture. Pete is, I don't know if you all have met him.
Yes,
we
know Pete.
Everybody
knows Pete.
I feel like I'm the cleanest person in the whole world. And these kids were just, I mean, they feel like little rock stars, and they were so proud. The one little girl that earned the police escort, she's the one in the pink in the middle, so she was there. And then Sophia is the one with the boots on the left. And she actually took cookies to a bake sale, a community event, Christmas event, sold the cookies, and then gave all of the earnings from that towards the Penny Wars. And so it was really special for her to be recognized for that. And then the other little guy had some special efforts, too. So they got to go outside and color in, like, where we got them on the little amount, which was pretty special. And there's the total, $1,342.75. From just pennies. Yeah. So it's
a lot of pennies.
Yeah,
it was pretty exciting.
And Richwood
Bay.
And ours
was
that coin
Rich
machine.
That's
yeah.
Rich Bay. Not user-friendly. Not user-friendly.
The first few days of out of the Malone, I was like, wow, I didn't realize how long this was. But
3 hours, yeah. And they had to empty the machine 3 times.
Yeah.
Oh, because there was so much change.
But it was worth it. It was worth it. The other cool thing is Sophia's grandfather and her grandparents listened all morning from South Carolina and called in and made a donation while she was there. So that was pretty cool.
And he mentioned it to her
and
in a radio
station.
That. It was awesome.
Yeah. Moving forward, and we're going to, so Creekview Intermediate and Mill Valley are partnering up and kind of getting our students to work together more. Something that we just did not too long ago is they came and we worked together to create holiday cards for the local nursing homes. And so the police department has offered to deliver them for us. And Don can kind of talk about that.
Yeah,
and
so
what
last
doing.
Year, we started doing the one nursing home that's out on 38. I think it's Brookdale now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Last year, we all went out there, us and the fire department, and then basically they teamed us up with people. We ate lunch with them, just ate holiday lunch with them. Mm-hmm. You know, sat and talked to them. Some talked to you, some not so much, but well, yeah. So we're starting. My job, since I've been promoted to community services supervisor, our job is not only we're trying to look at things not just in little groups. We're trying to look at it as the whole community. And we have a very large, you know, senior population in Marysville. So we're trying to figure out ways to bring them into the fold too. And, you know, I was talking to Amy, she said, I got all these cards. And I'm like, well, why don't, you know, we're going to be going over there around Christmas time anyway. They said, we can take the cards and go, you know, I could send a group of officers over to Millcrest. I could send some over to Heartland. And I could send some over to Brookdale. I said, we can knock it out a lot, you know, quicker than, you know, you guys going one at a time. So
when they hand them out, they're just going to say, these are cards that were created by Creekview Intermediate and Mill Valley students. And, you know, we're going to create something up. So they have those ready to go. Just moving forward, you know, we kind of talked as a school, you know, obviously we'd love to develop many community partnerships, but doing more with the police department, obviously, because it's working out well, more than just the Breakfast Buddies, adding the Breakfast Buddies to other schools because they're interested. You know, we had other ideas about in the classroom and things like that, but it worked out so well, and, you know, you can see the differences and the excitement in the kids, so.
It's nice for our officers to actually get to interact mm-hmm. with somebody other than what we're normally used to interacting with. You know, and it's nice to, you know, I make this joke all the time. It's nice to spend 20 minutes where you don't feel like somebody's getting ready to lie to you for 20 minutes, you know, sometimes. And it's nice to have that feeling where the kids are, you know, they're excited to see you, you know. And these guys are really buying into the programs of coming over here and spending time with the kids. And I think it's just as good for our guys as it is for the kids.
When I was talking to one of the officers, I didn't realize the rewarding impact on their end being equal to our end.
It's like this Tuesday is our final day before the break, and we were all talking, you know, because, you know, we're starting to develop these relationships with these kids, and you almost, you know, you want to do things, whatever you can to help them.
Yeah.
You know, you want to do, if they need something, you want to do it. So we had, we were talking about bringing in donuts. Well, we started looking around, and there's other kids that eat in the cafeteria at the same time that we're doing this. So what we decided is we're going to bring donuts in for all the kids on Tuesday, just so they're not, you know, so everybody gets to be involved this Tuesday. So
So that would be a good day for us to come visit Mill Valley.
And you guys are going to go morning. You guys, I mean, you're invited anytime to Mill Valley,
right.
But if you want to see this in action.
Tuesdays is here. Fridays is at that.
Yeah, it's
at
fine.
Maven.
Because we
right.
stand out here in this front door and the kids come in, they're like, morning cop.
What time?
It's 8:45
to 9:05.
We're usually here from about 8:30 until about 20
after 9. Yeah, they do get here a little early.
So, I mean, can you, I don't know, when did this start again? Oh, I know, you
three
said.
3 years ago.
Well, no, at this school, though. It was election day?
November
1st. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of wondering, have you seen it translate to any changes in the classroom?
Attendance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Attendance,
good.
For sure.
And that's key right there.
Schools.
Right.
They do not miss that day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now. I mean, at Naaman, it's Friday, so they're, you know, come on, you got to be here on Friday.
Right.
But, yeah, attendance is a big thing.
And I think that when we created our list of students, we really, really thought hard about which kids we would want to partner up. What's going on at home? What's going on in the classroom? You know, what's going on in their hearts and that kind of thing? And I think, you know, them being another positive individual that's not in school. You know, there's so many positive people that are in school all day to support them and things, but, I mean, just them being another stakeholder to the success of the children is so huge. Mm-hmm. So,
And as for me, you know, there's a couple students who, you know, will say, like, to me, like, does Officer McGlynn know this? And I'll say no. And, like, they care about, you know, doing the right thing, but not only for what's right, but they want them to know.
Right.
You know, decisions they're making mean something for them to know what they're doing.
Right.
And I don't know if that, you know, it's just kind of helped that way. So, and I really think, I remember my first year as principal when Officer Dillahunt used to just come visit for lunch. There were a lot of kids, we would talk about this, that would say, I don't want to talk to him, I'm afraid of police. And I was like, my goodness, these kindergartners are afraid of police. And I feel like now they're here all the time that it's just like, oh, it's the police. Like, so I feel like it's impacting everybody too. So
Well, that's good because you hear so many parents sometimes threaten children.
Right.
With, I'm going to call the police or, you know, I'm going to have the police come get you.
Right.
You know, which is really, like, awful, you know.
Well, or just seeing everything in the news, you know, about things happening with the police.
The funny thing was, her very first day, there were 4 police cars here. And the parents were like, where are all the police cars from? You know, we're just starting a new program. You know, it's just like, what's going on? Because at 8:30... The police cars were all here.
Right.
So.
That's
great.
It's great stuff.
Well done. Yep. Great contribution to United Way.
It was amazing. The kids were so excited. It was amazing. Yeah. I would have never predicted that much.
Pennies.
I had
well done. Yeah.
Pennies.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank
well, thank you. Thank you. Okay. I'm checking to see if we have.
Great. Thanks.
Nothing? Okay, nothing on our public participation? Last call? All right. And next up, we have the superintendent's report. Ms. Mankins?
Wanted to give you a parking lot update. As you know, phase one is complete. Phase two is on a temporary hold now. The weather finally worked against us. So we will be looking to put the finishing touches on in the spring. You'll see some work taking place off and on, but as far as finishing and paving and et cetera, that will not be complete now until the spring. The other thing I wanted to let you know is December 30th, we are expecting the fall administration for third grade scores to be in, so we're anxiously awaiting those. And I'll communicate that information to you after Jonathan and Steve weed through that and let you know those results. Remember, that's an end of the third grade test that's given in the fall. So it's an indicator of where students should be at the completion of third grade. I also wanted to give you an update on the football coach search. First round interviews are taking place this weekend or this week. Second round are taking place next week. The hope would be that we'd have a recommendation for the board in January. Following that, there will be a third round, depending on different situations with the holiday and et cetera. But the plan would be to have a recommendation to the board for the January board meeting. We did receive a total of, I believe it was 24 applications, Lynette told me, for review with, I would say, various backgrounds, some with lots of experience, some with very little. So they're working through that process currently. I also wanted to mention I had the opportunity to volunteer and answer phones on the CARE train, just a reminder of the great work that goes into providing for those people who need a little help this time of year. I don't know if you're a Twitter follower, but last night there was a great tweet from our high school students that were shopping for different families in the community as well, holiday shopping and toy purchasing for kids. So just a reminder, all our buildings do something special at this time of year to give back to the community and families. So it's great to be a part of that.
And it was nice to see our National Honor Society students earning more than Fairbanks, right?
That's right. That's right. We brought in a little
order.
Bit
That's
more
right.
money in the
right.
Fairbanks. I try not to.
We had a little benefit in going second, I think.
That's right.
But
we always
but
do.
They both, I mean, the combination of both of those was just, I mean, that was outstanding.
Yes.
That was
yes.
more than I've ever
Once
remember
they've
hearing.
Added the mulch in,
yeah.
that package has gone up. It used to be just.
Just the labor.
You receive the labor
right.
and you assign them what to do. So that has gone yeah. up. But. Certainly. Always a healthy competition for a good cause.
Yep.
Also, a couple of you had asked, and there's been a lot of, I would say, turmoil around the state about the new graduation requirements and the points for the class of 2018, so current juniors. And so, basically, at this point, juniors still have one portion of the test left to take. So we kind of took the idea of 14-point range would be, and less than that, we would consider at risk. So when we went in and looked, I wanted to let you know that at this point we would have 57 between the two high schools, 55 students at risk. Again, they still have one more portion of the test to take, and they still have retakes as an option, and they've just completed retakes. We'll get those scores February time frame. So it's about 13% of the class. To frame that up with you for the OGT and give you some kind of sense of comparison, going into this fall administration of the OGT, we had 57 seniors that still needed one portion of the OGT. So okay. we're probably not hugely out of line. After this fall administration, those results just came in really in the past couple days. There are 39 students that have a portion, at least one portion, of the test to take. So just to kind of frame that, mm-hmm. not the same test, not graded the same way, all those kind of things, but to give you an idea of students, which is about not quite 10% of the mm-hmm. senior class. So
okay,
is
but
that
helpful? Obviously they're identified and they're being provided supports and things like that.
Right. So each building's kind of approaching it in a different way. The use mm-hmm. of Monarch period for additional intervention. Mm-hmm. They've attempted some after-school things. They seem to be a little less successful, certainly with mm-hmm. students involved and having jobs and et cetera. So they've done some different things to try to embed that intervention within the school day.
Okay.
All right. And that is all I have.
Okay. Any questions, anybody? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Treasurer's report.
Not really a lot to update you on today, for the month. Our cash flow projections are, you know, really pretty much on target. Expenditures and revenues each are trending about 1% to the positive, so that's a good sign. Our insurance open enrollment just ended, and that will have an impact on our projections going forward in the benefits line. We had kind of a shift in the insurance to our plan C, which is our high deductible plan. It's kind of a good and a bad. You know, to the bad is that means it's probably going to increase the expenditure in that line because that one is more funded by the district. But to the positive, that plan is the one that should force or should lead to the user being more, you know, judicious and really yes. watching how they use their plan. So while it may have a short-term bump in that line, at the same time, it should have a long-term impact to the positive where people will, you know, monitor their insurance usage more closely. So we'll have, you know, a better update of, in next month of where that's going to, the short-term impact of that. And like I said, otherwise, things are pretty well on target.
Okay. I know I had just asked you a couple questions about that open enrollment number because we're trending, we're doing better than you had budgeted in that.
Yeah, so each month we are twice a month we get our foundation revenue, which is our state per pupil money, and you know I kind of like to monitor. We also have money that's deducted out of that. So if we have Marysville students that live in the district but attend another district through open enrollment, money is deducted from there. Also, if we have any of our students that attend community schools, that money is deducted as well. So I keep an eye on that line, and it's coming in. I think it was a little over $70,000 under what we were projecting. So that was a good sign.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's it for you?
Okay. Yep.
Well, let's see. For the board president's report tonight, I've got several things and kind of wanted to have a little bit of a discussion because this last month, Nan, Dick, Brian, and I, Amy could not attend because of work, I think, but the OSBA Capital Conference, the Ohio School Boards Association Capital Conference was held in Columbus, and Ashley, I think we just, in a recent briefcase, it said, I think, 9,241 people attended this conference, and that it's the largest in the country. So it's really a great opportunity to go, and it's a professional development, things like that. And after we attended, we all agreed, you know, a lot of times you go to things like that, and you learn a lot, and then those papers or those ideas just kind of get buried. And so we thought it might be good to talk about some of those highlights. So I've recapped a few things from the sessions that I attended, and I welcome and encourage comments from other people who attended. So the first one I attended was covering instruction and student achievement, and it was titled Diagnostics Create Post-Secondary Plans. And it was presented by Goshen Local Schools, and really the focus on this was analyzing data from middle school students to help them with their future success. And what I found really interesting, I thought it was an amazing presentation, but they had, their technology director had created an in-house customized data collection form that not only included academic information, but also information about student attitudes, things like, you know, do you like coming to school? Do you eat breakfast in the morning? I mean, just a variety of things to give them kind of a complete picture of the student. And I just thought it was a great example of how data can support personalized learning, and it made me think about how that's, you know, that's our focus here in our district. And so I did, I saw Chris Dice, I talked to Diane about it, and, you know, because I know we do a lot of great things here as well as far as providing that data. They also talked about using the Ohio Means Jobs backpack to identify interests in order to relate more in the classroom to the students. And that reminded me of Bunsold and some other buildings that are using flex time so that students can focus on things outside of the classroom that interest them. And, you know, so again, I just thought, what a great thing that our district is doing in kind of supporting more than just the academic core classes. That was kind of the highlight from that one, and then I attended one where the new state superintendent was talking about strengthening the Ohio Department of Education and district partnership, and so he spoke about himself a little bit and then had us break up into small groups, and he said it's so important to talk about the good work that's happening in public education now because there's a lot of negativity out there, and so he said, break into small groups and share something good that's happening in your district. And I thought it was interesting because as soon as I said, you know, I'm from Marysville, I mean, I barely said that, and they're like, you guys won that grant. You got that STEM school. And so they said, well, that's, we want to talk about that, you know. And I said, well, you know, that is, we're really proud of that. And it's created a lot of great opportunities for our students. And I said, but it's also helped us throughout our district to focus more on project and problem-based learning opportunities, both with our students and our staff. And so I just thought, you know, it's clear that STEM is a hot topic right now. You heard in the news, I think Mann made a comment that there was a whole segment on 60 Minutes about it a couple weeks ago. And so outsiders are impressed and they want to know more, but it's important that you know, they know we've got 9 buildings in our district, and we're just proud of all of them because they've all really kind of picked up on the whole STEM idea and that kind of stuff. Also heard a lot of positive stories about, or other districts shared how they were working on one-to-one technology initiatives and partnerships. And again, it's like, we're there. We've done that already. I mean, I think it just kind of leads you to believe that we're really ahead of the game here. And then the last one that I wanted to highlight was a creative revenue sources for public schools. And I was interested in that just because as we talk about athletic facilities and you know, booster groups and some of the work that they're doing, I thought it would be interesting, and it was, because they talked about how, you know, nowadays a lot of schools have harder times passing levies, and so booster groups, it kind of forces booster groups to get more involved, and you can run into some problems there because schools really don't have control over the booster groups, and you want to have a great partnership with them, but the district can't tell them what to do. And I thought, what a nice job we've done, because our treasurer has started some semi-annual meetings where booster groups are invited to come in and learn about the legal ramifications of fundraising and gifting things to the district, and just kind of helping them to understand some of the problems that come with doing things if you don't communicate with the district. So they had a great handout, and so I gave that to Diane and to share with Todd. They also talked about the ownership of intellectual material, and we thought that was kind of interesting because we had been talking about, as we develop more blended resources and we encourage our teachers to come up with some digital kinds of curriculum, what's the implication there and what do you need to be looking out for? So, we saw Chris Dice because he presented there and talked to him about that a little bit, there's just a lot of things going on that confirm that we're really on target in this district, and we're doing some things that other districts are envious of, I think, you know. So there's an awful lot of blabbing on my part. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add a couple points because you covered a lot of them, even though we didn't attend any of the same sessions. Mm-hmm. In many of the sessions, there was kind of crossover messages. And the one session I went to talked about what happens when your schools are in crisis, and talks about when the state came in. It was the story of Lorain Public Schools up west of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And when the state came in and took over the school district and what happened and how they worked their way back. So it was really kind of a very interesting story. But the key to the story is how they were able to succeed is through community partnerships. So engaging not only the teaching staff, but also the janitorial staff, along with the office staff, everybody working together, going the same direction at the same time, engaging with the community and getting the community involved and getting the parents involved. And that same type of message really rung through to almost every session that we went to. So Marysville is steps ahead of many other places, and so we have a good starting spot.
Mm-hmm. And I want to echo that the sessions that I was able to attend, I attended the business meeting excuse me, as a district representative. Excuse me. But most of the sessions that I went to, again, just things that we were doing, things that we were involved in. One session that I went to that I mentioned was a session on preparing global competent students in the Global Scholars Diploma that's being initiated this year at, mm-hmm. at our high school. And this is, I think, an amazing program. There will be on the diploma a seal. There's a certification that says you are a Global Scholars diplomaed individual. And partners, I have the, and I'll pass this down, this is the slide, the presentation that I put up there. But local support for this comes from Battelle, Cardinal Health, City of Columbus, Franklin University, Grief, Honda, L Brands Nationwide, and Ohio State University. And there's a national network of advisors all across the country. Some of the bigger and better names in terms of education and general knowledge, international business are involved. But local support is generated because we are a very global community. In Marysville, we have Honda and other international businesses that have facilities here that do business here, with some of the new announcements for the computer cable that's going to be put down 33. They're anticipating international interest in people coming here to be part of that. The gentleman that was making the presentation said that in the Columbus metro area, 54% of the foreign-born people here have come since 2000. And 25% of our growth since 2000 has been international growth. One in five residents age five and older speaks a language other than English at home within those immigrant families. We have, I think they said in here, 55,000 residents in that are employed in exporting jobs, and we have a 500,000 jobs in international trade in Central Ohio. There are 431 internationally owned companies in this area. So being aware of just global experiences and global involvement makes a high school graduate a better looking prospect as an employee. Mm-hmm. And they really believe that the students that go through this program, when they come in, and they present their diploma, when they talk about what they've been involved in high school, that if, in addition to all of their regular studies, they have also picked up this Global Scholars certification, that will be a very meaningful, a very important thing for them to be able to discuss with a potential employer, something that would make a difference in terms of a college application. Give them a basis of being able to discuss that a little bit more. It's a three-year program, and it involves extensive interaction with people from other cultures, international businesses, and so forth, and can involve international travel, and has, as one component, kind of a capstone project that has to have an international focus on it. So I'm just absolutely thrilled that we're going to be able to offer this program this year. I certainly would like to see it expand and grow as we move forward. But again, to in going to this conference, walk in and say, okay, what things we want to go to, I'm trying to find something new that we're not doing, and it's very, very difficult to do that. But this program, you know, was one that I was very interested in going because it it was a presentation, gave me an opportunity to learn a lot more about something we're getting involved in.
So it's only you have to be a sophomore to start in it? I mean, you have to get 3 years be able to qualify.
Correct. And I think this year they've started with a small number. I think it's 23 students. I think they're all sophomores, but I'm not sure. And, you know, next year there'll be another group, hopefully, that will get started and move through this. The students do not take any, they don't take a special set of curriculum for this. The components of this are built in to most of the courses and the classes that they're already taking, but they will have some additional, there's an, I think one additional class.
It's really done outside of the school day. So
yeah.
It's really,
like an extracurricular.
There's module pieces at level two, and those are all done outside. So it's a student who wants to be fairly serious about looking into to global studies, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So some schools have made an anchor course. You know, it's kind of different everywhere. We have not. Ours is kids come together. We're using Monarch, period, to bring kids together. So
right.
It's really a outside of their typical curricular day.
Right. At Granville, one of the things that they did was to take an English class. They have a smaller number of students. They had an English class, and they had to write a paper, and they just made the paper on something that fit in with global studies as their English writing assignment. So some things can be, you know, can be embedded in what the kids are doing. Other things are going to take some additional time, but it, to me, I think it's a very appropriate course for us to be involved in for our students. And I think it's very reflective of what's going on in our community and going on in Central Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Did you have any comments, Brian?
Well, I went to two sessions. I can summarize them pretty quickly. One of them was on transgender students, and it was an interesting session because the upshot seemed to be that, you know, there was a fair amount of talk about that issue last year. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's died down now. I'm not sure, but we even had an entire community coffee that was delving into that, and it was because a parent was very upset. And what the upshot of the session was, with there's a lot of talk of people being concerned and upset, but when you actually look at what's happening in the schools, there really aren't any problems. And that actually dovetails with the people I've talked to in our district. There are kids in our school district who are transgender. That means their gender of identity is diverging from the gender they were assigned at birth. And those kids are taken care of, generally on a case-by-case basis. And the lawyer who was presenting, who does this area of law, I didn't even know this was a specialty you could have, and she does these cases in Ohio, she said she's never had a case where the other kids in the school had any problem with what that kid was going through. So there's actually a lot to be encouraged about. Now, the law can be somewhat complicated and is in flux, so we have to pay attention to that. I'm not going to try to summarize where that is because I probably would get it wrong. But the main lesson I got from that session was the schools are handling these cases quite well right now, and the best way to handle them is by talking, of talking to parents, if the parents have even been informed, because some kids don't come out to their parents first. Talking to the child, talking to with guidance counselors and so on. The other session I went to was about poverty, and that was sort of the opposite. It was like there are really quite serious problems and we're not talking about it that much. And the main point there was that we do a lot of work on what allows a child to be successful academically in many different ways, and in fact poverty is one of the biggest indicators of whether a kid is likely to be successful academically. And the feeling I got from that session was, yeah, it's a very important issue, and it affects what's going on in the schools. I didn't hear a lot of good solutions, and it's probably because that's a much bigger problem than any one school can kind of handle. But it also jives with what I've heard from some of the principals I've been talking to, that a lot of the biggest challenges going on in the schools is what the kid brings with them from their home environment. Mm-hmm. So those are the two sessions I went to, and they were both really useful.
Good. It kind of makes me think about the breakfast buddies, you know, because I'm guessing that some of those kids might have some of those issues, you know.
And it seems to be growing. That was the other thing from that session. You know, there are real problems in our society and our state of resources and economics, and it does affect what happens in the schools quite a bit.
I wanted to also briefly touch on the fact that Nan and I attended ED411, which is an economic development seminar in Columbus. I can't remember how many years. Do you remember how many years? Like 5 years that they've done this? I don't know. But anyways, it's an excellent program. And again, kind of that same theme, the breakout sessions that we went to, they talked about how important it was, or how much it helps your community. If you have a school district that's already developed business partnerships and created educational pathways in high demand fields, that's going to be a real benefit for economic development in your community. So again, you know, kudos to Union County, and actually Union County was mentioned numerous times during the day. We also went to one about what elected officials need to know, where they talked about some exciting economic incentives like TIFs and things like that. But again, they said, you know, it's really important that you talk about these things ahead of time, so when companies come in, you're prepared. And again, we have done that. We have an agreement already out there. So pretty much leave these things feeling like we're really on target. And then I guess really the only other thing that I wanted to talk about after attending both of those is that it reminded me of the importance of professional development at every level, because we saw other board members, superintendents, treasurers, principals, teachers, facilities managers, etc. And I think in today's rapidly changing world, you know, we heard from many districts how they were hiring consultants to do a variety of different things. And you know, we have coaches in our district to help support our staff, help support our students. And you know, so I think it's really a good investment on our part to provide professional development wherever it's needed, because we're going to see how that pays off. So other than that, I really don't have anything else. I think that was plenty. So sorry for taking so much time, but I think it was some good information. So finally, Mr. Chivington, would you like to give your High Point report?
Great. Good evening.
Good evening.
You guys are staying warm back here. Dr. Smith's really been pretty active with the smart technology. We all know about Route 33, and he's really been active with trying to get some companies and TRC and a lot of interest in that. So he's hoping to get a program at Ohio High Point, and really in smart technology. A lot of renovation activities going on at High Point. One to note is wireless internet service, trying to get that wired down. Also, in November, we had our fall career day, and we had 119 families show up for fall career day. So that was very positive. A lot of activity this last month in Ohio Skills, and we've had a lot of the satellites and in the main campus, a lot of students and faculty members attend that. To note, I think we had 34 students that were recognized in an award called the Statesman's Award. And out of the 34, five of them were from Marysville. So, to note that. Last evening, we had 17 culinary students give us a Christmas meal. And it's a five-course meal. It was really, they did a really nice job. And so that was noteworthy. And then also our last day of school will be on the 20th. So this one. So wrap up the year.
people, you've been our board rep for a year now, because I remember last year I came to the very end of that meeting and I was able to have some dessert, which was yummy.
Right.
So yeah, I remember that.
On that
board. Yeah. No, well, thank you so much.
Great. We wish you and your family a happy holiday.
Thank you.
Same to you.
Thank you.
All right, legislative report.
A couple of things. We all got an email, facts in a flash, that said the government had kind of closed down for the holiday season, and a number of bills had gone through. And many of them, if you had an opportunity to read, went through, I think, came out kind of as expected. One of the bills dealing with truancy, House Bill 410, came out, and was modified, I think, if I understood it correctly, it got modified a little bit as it came through. But it addresses the lengths of suspensions, carryover suspensions from one year to the next, requires school districts to develop intervention programs to try and work with kids. And that aspect of it was the one that was most problematic for most school districts, because there's some costs involved with having people intervene in home situations and so forth, and how those costs are going to be borne. That aspect of it, that component of it, is another kind of an unfunded mandate that here there's a problem, you go fix it, and also figure out a way to pay for it. The bill that was going to move the start of school till after Labor Day didn't get anywhere. That one, I think, was good. I know that in communicating with state legislators and in listening to what was going on, a lot of people were hearing, let local school districts make local decisions. That became kind of a drumbeat theme that was presented to the legislators, and I think some of them, maybe on the start of the school year, said, you know, this is something that, you know, we'll just let the local schools handle it. On Senate Bill 235, I talked with Diane just prior to the meeting, tried to set up a meeting, was not successful with that, did send an email to both of our legislators about this, and got responses from both of them. It passed, and this was a bill that said that if a piece of property was being purchased for development, that the value of the land would be frozen at its current value, which was typically farm value, until there was a certificate of occupancy, until there was commercial activity on the property. Essentially, you had to wait until the thing was complete before the property value would rise. Currently, as development occurs, as streets and sewer lines are put in, the property would come up in value some, and then it would rise with some of the buildings being put in place, and then eventually reach its full tax value later on. The original proposal said that the developer could file a document with the county auditor and freeze that property value at Cornfield, and there was no recourse. The way the bill ended up is not exactly what I think school districts, including ours, would have liked. We would have liked to maybe to have had a thumbs up or a thumbs down on it. But the final bill came out, and the cities or the county will be able to hold a hearing when the developer buys the land, they'll file an application. The city will hold a hearing or the county will hold a hearing. School districts will be notified, so we will have at least a place to go and let people know what we think. And so the problem that most people had was this took away the local decision and applied a statewide situation, and so they've at least returned it to a local decision, not that it involves us directly, but it did come back to a local decision, and I think that was a positive aspect to it. Senate Bill 3 was passed, had a whole bunch of different kinds of things in there. Career-based math course approved by the Ohio Department of Education for career technical students as an alternative to Algebra 2, I think is one piece of it. There was a section that said that College Plus students can't be denied the opportunity to participate in interscholastic extracurricular activities solely due to their participation in College Credit Plus. There were some concerns about the time. If a student took a class in the afternoon and it interfered with practice time, how's all that going to be worked out? So we have a law, how it's going to actually work, what situations it's going to create. This one, that part created a lot of discussion. I was kind of hopeful that that would not be a part of it, but it was in there. So that's it on the state legislature. One other thing that did happen, OSBA lobbyist Jay Smith made a recommendation to Rick Lewis for me to be appointed to the Federal Relations Network, and Mr. Lewis approved that. And so in January, I'm going to go to Washington, D.C. for about 3 or 4 days and attend the Federal Relations
NSBA, National School Board Association.
Oh, yes, the National School Board Association Advocacy Institute, the 29th and the 31st in Washington, D.C., and be a part of our Federal Relations Network.
And we're very proud of you for that. Appreciate it. I mean, I think that says a lot about how much you've been involved with legislative issues, and that we're very proud of you and grateful for your willingness to serve.
Well,
that's right. Nothing's happened yet, right?
Nothing's
okay,
happened.
We'll see how it goes.
Not real sure what all is involved in this.
Well, I'm sure you'll learn something.
I absolutely will.
Right.
So it's an interesting opportunity.
Right.
It was one that I felt that I had the time and the ability to say yes to, and hopefully we'll have some benefit to our district.
Right. Great. Thank you very much. Safety and Drug Committee report.
I talked to Holly. Our meeting doesn't go until Tuesday. Okay. It's next Tuesday,
okay.
So we're
gotcha.
Early on
gotcha.
Our
okay.
meeting here. So we really have nothing yet. We are working. We broke out and working in different groups. I also committed to being the assistant chair. They tried to get me to be the chair on the board, and I said I could not commit to it because of
right.
work. So
right.
I could not do what Jonathan does and guarantee that I could be there all the time if something comes up at work. So
right.
I did break down and tell them that I would be the assistant chair on it. So
good.
But there's really nothing to report until we meet with our groups on Tuesday. So we'll have
next month
stuff. And okay. And since I wasn't able to go to the sessions, I've been doing research on the safety things that were out at the programs.
Great.
So I've been doing a lot of that on the lockdown bars, that kind of thing.
Right.
So just diving into a lot of that and looking up through the safety areas in that on my own.
Thank
since
you
I wasn't
much.
Able to do that. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Need a motion to approve the minutes from our November 17th board meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Mrs. Powers. Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, we need a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. Any questions or anything else that you'd like to share?
The only thing I really want to point out in there is the donation from the quarterback club. It's a over $60,000 donation of weight room equipment and really just a total renovation of our weight room. You know, there were painting done, total all new weight equipment. So really a really big big project.
Yeah, we certainly thank the quarterback club, because I don't know how many students use that weight room, but I think every sport.
Absolutely,
uses
and
that
I think it was
room.
Kind of a group effort in getting it all together.
Yes.
I mean, the basketball team helped in some of the paintings. Multiple coaches were involved, so it was really a good
group collaboration.
Effort.
Yep. Right. Okay. Great. How about a roll call?
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And next up, we need a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers. I'll second that.
Pretty typical. We have a few new hires for positions, addition of supplementals. We have a healthy list of volunteers again, and some student teaching placements at various schools throughout the school district.
Let's see. One retirement on there? Jennifer,
there was a retirement from Bunzold.
Okay.
An aide at Bunzold.
Okay. Great. Any questions? Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
Yep.
Okay, roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. And next we have comments and questions from board members. So, Mr. Smith.
I think we talked about the conference. The legislative report. It seems like every place I go, everything I get involved in, people are aware of our school district, aware of what's going on. They know about the STEM school, they know about our high school, they are aware of things that are going on in the elementaries. They are planning on being at breakfast tomorrow morning. It's just nice to go and have people say nice things about you, because I think this is a great district. I think that the administrators, teachers, staff, all of the volunteers, all of the parents, the kids are so supportive of each other and so supportive of our community. We saw where we raised money to go to support of people in our community. We hear every week, and we honor excellence at all levels. We have people that are making presentations at statewide national conferences and so forth. I just know this is a great district, and I am humbled every time I go someplace to represent Marysville. I really am. This is fantastic. I knew it was great. It wasn't until I started going out and traveling around that I realized how other people thought that this place was great, too. Mm-hmm.
I want to do a quick shout-out to the Marysville High School girls basketball team. Mm-hmm. They had the opportunity last Friday to go up to Cleveland and play at Cooling Cavalier Stadium at Quicken. It was a great, great game. They won the game, and then they were treated to a Cavs game, which the Cavs also won that night. So myself and my family also attended through their booster club. We bought tickets, and it was a great, great opportunity, and it really highlighted our community greatly. I want to thank you to Mill Valley for creating young community servants. I think that's where it all starts, if we can start it young. Mm-hmm. That's something that you remember for a lifetime. I'd also like to throw out the next community coffees, January 14th, February 10th, and March 11th. They'll be at 5th Street Cafe from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. We've had some good public participation and want to continue that activity. I think it's a good opportunity for open two-way dialogue.
Have we assigned members to that, those meetings yet?
No, we have not assigned members okay. yet.
If you are interested, I believe you should just let Nan know.
Yes. I just did.
Okay.
Thank you very much for hosting us. It was awesome. And I'll tell you, it's very near and dear to my heart, as you know, that mm-hmm. what you guys are doing with the police department is awesome. For, again, seeing what we deal with every day, and I know they deal with a lot more than I even deal with, but knowing what I deal with every day, and I want to see that reoccurring problem at some point get stopped. And I think by what you're doing, we can do that, that these kids do not have to follow in the footsteps of their parents that aren't doing right. And because we see this generational thing constantly, where they hit the juvenile system, then they come to the common pleas, and it's just a big circle. So I want to thank you for that, because that is something I think that can help us give these kids a better life and a better start in life, to know that they don't have to stay in that revolving door. So thanks.
Well, I was impressed by that too. So thank you for hosting us and for you know, thinking of this program and supporting it. It does sound really yes. encouraging. I was able to go to two extracurricular events this week. I was at a band concert at Bunzold and then a choir band concert at Creekview,
okay.
and those were both really fun. And I was really impressed by the parents. You know, that last night at Creekview, it was one of the coldest nights of the year. Mm-hmm. It was packed. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was no parking. There was no seat open. And mm-hmm. our community, we really have great community support for yeah, the mm-hmm. schools here. And it was just fun to see how the kids are developing in music and to be part of that.
Great. I have one more thing I want to sure. shout out now, because you did the girls' basketball. Mm-hmm. Bunzold Middle School, 7th and 8th graders are undefeated. Both of them. 7th boys basketball. Undefeated. Okay, so we were there last night, and the closest game, wasn't it, Todd, last night?
Yeah.
Was what? How much difference were there? 6 points?
Yeah, I think it was. They ended up, final score was probably like 4 points.
It yeah, and we that's the closest game that has been happening, so it's really cool.
Since we're coming back this way, Raymond had a night.
Everybody has
they did a pancake supper, and they had activities for the kids in various classrooms where they could go in and make a Christmas ornament or do a variety of things. Having the kids come and make something with their own hands, mm-hmm. be able to take that home and they could, there were bags and things, so they could wrap it up and make it a gift or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we showed up at 5:30, and the line was, the pancakes were in the gym. The line was out and up the hallway. And when we got ready to leave after 7:30, the line was still out the door and around. They had, I don't know how many pancakes they made that night. But it was
close to 300.
Wow.
For Raymond, that's
wow,
yeah,
that is.
I mean, it was huge. Building was packed. Santa was overwhelmed.
And you were going, what time does this end?
Can we run out of pancakes?
And do it all over again.
It's
finally said, Santa's got to get back to the North Pole, guys.
Yeah.
And you know what else, too? I never, it's that Chief Golden has been amazing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Open to anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, they paid for the pizza party here.
Wow.
I mean, it's awesome. He wants to do so much more. He's never said no. I mean, he picked up me and drove that day, so I didn't credit him, and I should have.
Oh, I think you did.
Yeah. Overall, he's been very supportive.
We'll make sure that we give him an extra hug next time.
That is so awesome. And I'm really glad you guys are that it's going to fan out to the other schools and stuff.
Because I
think it is just so important to have this relationship with these kids like that.
Mm-hmm. The last thing I wanted to say about those two events was one of the music teachers was explaining growth mindset to the parents.
Yay.
You know, we were talking about, we've gotten two or three presentations actually about this individualized learning and other sort of pedagogical models. And one of my questions was, is it permeating through?
Yes.
And I think you can see that
people
are taking it seriously and trying to apply it.
Without a
doubt. That was interesting.
Thank you.
I just compliment Ms. McGlynn on a very uplifting presentation and program. Very jealous sitting here to listen to that, because you know my high school principal was more like the Wizard of Oz, you know, the mean guy behind the curtain. So I think our students are very lucky to have very student-centered principals like Ms. McGlynn, and Ms. Lynn sitting there is another great example of that.
Yes.
And if I don't see anybody between now and the 25th, everybody have a Merry Christmas.
Diane.
I think the only thing I would add is, as you know, we've been working on a mentoring program with Impact 60. Monday, we'll be taking a group of kids to do a focus group with fourth graders at Navin to gauge their kind of pop culture, maybe, what they're into, etc. So then the students are going to design with Dr. Phil and his team a plan, and we're going to work on things such as peer pressure, decision making, etc. The grades of focus are going to be 4th, 5th, and 6th. Students at the high school are going to basically mentor at least 3 of those elementary intermediate kids, and we're going to design those around student interests. So they're going to do that Monday, and then they are giving up, all of the students and leadership are giving up their day off January 3rd to go through a training in which they will get prepared to set out second semester for their first shot at mentoring younger kids.
Wow.
So I'll keep you posted as that continues to evolve.
Right. And everybody here knows who Dr. Phil is, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Phil, he's with the mental health.
Yeah. Oh,
yes. Dr. Phil Atkins, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So, I mean, that's amazing. I love that.
We're excited about that.
Good. Well, since I've been wordy tonight, I have several comments to make here, so I'm just warning you, okay? But thank you so much, Amy. It was perfect timing, you know, Christmas time, and what wonderful giving you guys did. So we appreciate that, and the police department, too. Want to remind all of us that our board organizational meeting is going to be on Monday, January 9th at 5:30. Now, if Ohio State wins, then I think that's the night. I think that might be the national championship game night, possibly.
We'll look into that.
But no, our meeting's at 5:30, and it usually is about a half an hour. So we can maybe bring some snacks and get in the party mode or something. Wear your Buckeye stuff. I believe our light show, is that going to be coming up here on December 18th?
I have heard good things, so I'm fingers crossed, knock on the wood.
And where is that going to be?
That's at the Early College Building, 833 North Maple. You'll come in the loop, and you'll drive through the loop and see the light show.
And tune in to which station?
I'm not sure yet. I'll have that on a sign.
Okay.
And inside there are activities too, so it's a community-based function. So I think it's 5 to 7 on Sunday. I'll get you the times.
I want to say yes.
Yeah. And there are going to be various activities, face painting. They'll have Santa, some other things. So it is a community-based activity.
And will that light show continue then for a while?
I think they're going to have to turn on daily. That's the goal.
Okay, good. And then I wanted to, I attended a couple of holiday shops, so Edgewood and Northwood both had their kind of Santa shopping events, and it was wonderful because there were middle school kids, there were high school kids there helping the elementary students with their shopping. They were so excited to be there and helping. And then at Edgewood, Mrs. Hall, the tech aide, brought out some of the little robots. And remember when Edgewood did their presentation, they showed us the kits that Mr. Hensinger had bought for them. So these, she had made these little snowman robots. And so in the gym, while we were kind of waiting for students to show up, the high school and the middle school kids were playing with these robots, and actually Mrs. Hall's son was one of the volunteers. And afterwards, he said, "Man, we had so much fun with this, and we don't have any robots out at the high school." And so Mrs. Hall, being the creative, always thinking of something new, growth mindset kind of person that she is, says, "Well, I'm going to reach out to some of his teachers at the high school and maybe set up a Google chat or something, because, you know, she thought we can kind of share some things with the robots." And there were some other projects that she thought she could get some advice from high school students and maybe the teachers. So it's kind of a neat example of collaboration going on in our district, and I just wanted to give her a little shout out for that. Also, the SAC, our SAC and BASE programs, kind of in this theme of giving, held Operation Gratitude, and they collected almost 600 pounds of candy for our troops. They're also making fleece blankets for the Hope Center and the Ronald McDonald House, and they're incorporating a lot of math into this because they're figuring out square inches, square feet, how many one-inch strips do they need to cut on the sides of the blankets, and how many blankets would fit in a room, you know. So they really are, they're showing how you can combine education and service, and it's fun. You know, so I think they just do a great job with that. And then kind of fitting into what you were talking about, growth mindset, I attended the Bunsold Choir concert, and the Mini Swingers, their very first song is called Try Everything. And the lyrics of the song, it talks about how you make mistakes, but even when you make mistakes, you're going to try again. You know, and I'm like, oh, I love it. It's a growth mindset song. So, I know. And then I just finished reading a book called Talent Code by Daniel Coyle, and it just completely validates this growth mindset. It talks about how we all have the potential to learn and perform, and the final chapters are all about the importance of teaching and of having excellent teachers. And he included a quote in there that I thought was just wonderful. It just says, "A teacher affects eternity. He or she can never tell where his or her influence stops." About how powerful, you know, and how true. So with that, I will also wish everybody a Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah or however you celebrate the season, and ask for a motion to adjourn.
Salute.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes. And our meeting is adjourned at 8:29. So thank you.